Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, November 23rd. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Area Bands Come Together to Honor Andrew's Director. Even alumni grab instruments, make trip to Sweetwater. By J.C. Lewis. Sweetwater. Springtown, Big Spring, and Sweetwater High School bands came together during Monday's rescheduled playoff football game between Andrews and Springtown. Band directors from the three schools said that it was the right thing to do after the tragedy that impacted the Andrews High School marching band, and that students were on board, even though it was the start of their holiday breaks. Sweetwater band director Matthew Godino arranged a hymn for the Big Spring and Sweetwater marching bands to play during halftime to honor Andrews band director Darren Kimbrough Johns, who died in the crash. I knew that Darren Johns was a Christian man, and I thought it was very appropriate to play a hymn in honor of him today, Godino said. Nearer My God to Thee is the name of the hymn. I arranged it for the band, and it just kind of came to me. I thought I needed to put it down on paper and do a quick rendition. The arrangement starts off with tubas at the beginning, because Johns was a tuba player when he was in school, Godino said. The arrangement then ends with the tubas playing Jesus Loves Me at the end. I thought the arrangement was very symbolic of him going to heaven, he added. It was definitely what was going through my mind arranging the piece, him saying goodbye at the end. I only had this morning to arrange the piece, so it took about 2 hours. Godino said he knew Johns from his work as the Region 6 Association of Texas Small School Bands coordinator. We weren't super close, but he had been our coordinator for a long time, he said. In a strange way, I had known him for years after going to multiple meetings throughout the year. He showed me mercy a few times, too, as a young director. Big Spring High School band director Gabe Martinez said that they decided to come to play today because they wanted to help their fellow band friends. Sweetwater High School assistant band director Amanda Fornshaw added that no matter what band members are in, they are all family. The bands were able to get copies of the Andrews High School fight song and school song. Band members showed up early to rehearse the songs. 52 students from Big Spring volunteered to attend Monday's game. About 40 to 50 students from Sweetwater also played during the game. The Big Spring High School and Sweetwater High School bands also had members of the Andrews High School marching band join their ranks during the game. All of the bands were wearing black and gold ribbons to remember the victims of the bus crash. Dustin Tatro, a 2005 graduate of Andrews High School, is currently stadium organist for the Texas Rangers. He said, some alums decided to play with the Sweetwater High School and Big Spring High School marching bands around 10 a.m. Monday. Tatro grabbed his alto saxophone and made the drive from Abilene, where he also works as the organist for St. Paul Methodist and a bus driver for Abilene ISD. Working in-game entertainment at the professional level has taught me one thing, in addition to what I already knew. The athletic community is very close, but the musical community is even tighter than that, he said. It hit me really hard since Friday night. I was in band at Andrews since sixth grade to my senior year. I also knew Darren Johns when he was at Colorado City. Tatro added that he knew Johns because when participating in band in West Texas, as a lot of the area directors judge music competitions. While attending school at Hardin-Simmons University and traveling with the cowboy band, Tatro met Johns a week after Tatro's mother had passed away. Mr. Johns was the type of person who wasn't afraid to show his faith, he said. Especially in public school education, that's something you don't normally come across. He sat with me during our meeting for the better part of 45 minutes to minister to me. I know that over a very long teaching career, he probably made a deeper difference than what you would find on the marching field or concert hall. Tatro added that it is surreal that the bands of two of their biggest rivals, Big Spring High School and Sweetwater High School, stepped up to honor and remember the band director from Andrews during this difficult time. Tatro said he plans to go back to Andrews for John's services later this week. Andrews High School cheerleading head coach Krista Scott said 26 cheerleaders came back for the game on Monday to support the team. "We talk to the kids that during hard times we do hard things. And we are Mustangs wanting to support our team," Scott said. "We have a couple of band kids on our squad who didn't ride the bus to the game, but will be cheering for part of the time," she said. "Others will also be sitting with our band part of the time." Springtown High School band director Scott McFetridge said he did a Google survey to see which students wanted to come back for the game and could come back for the game on Monday. "We had close to 60 kids that wanted to take time away from their Thanksgiving break to come play at the game," he said. "We added Cap Rock to our repertoire today for the Andrews team." This article is entitled "PSP Effort Urges Shots." Partnership Chair: COVID still poses threat to Permian, from staff reports. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, a collaboration of energy producers in the Permian Basin, is launching a campaign to combat vaccine hesitancy head-on by highlighting the widespread impact the virus has and rallying residents together to protect their community. COVID still poses a threat to the Permian Basin, and the incredible energy transformation that is taking place here, PSP Chairman and former U.S. Secretary of Commerce Don Evans said in a statement. "I care deeply about this community and the positive, upbeat spirit we all share. The future is bright. We must do everything in our power to achieve the full potential of the Permian Promise. The Permian Basin is essential beyond just our region. We power the state, the country, and even the world. The best thing to do for our country right now is getting the vaccine." More than 2,200 Permian Basin residents have passed away from COVID. Still, the region has a low vaccination rate compared to the rest of the country, and many remain vaccine hesitant, according to the PSP news release. The Department of State Health Services reported Monday that the percentage of people aged 5 and older inside Midland County that were fully vaccinated was 42.99%, which trailed the state average of 58.62%. The percentage of those 65 and older who were vaccinated in Midland County was 71.92%, which trailed neighboring Ector County, 77.07%, and the state average, 82.36%. "Getting vaccinated is the best thing to do to keep the Permian Basin strong. We are committed to the health and safety of our community. Safe, healthy residents allow us to continue providing energy to the world. It's time for us to come together and roll up our sleeves for the vaccine," said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP. "The PSP has a vested interest in the health and well-being of those in the Permian Basin," according to the news release. "Vaccine and public health literacy are critical components of a healthy, thriving community. Encouraging vaccines can keep hospital capacity open and support the healthcare professionals who have taken care of us through this tumultuous time." The campaign will roll out in two phases and will run through mid-2022. The first phase will feature print and billboard ads around West Texas and Southeast New Mexico. Texans wishing to receive their COVID vaccine can visit https://dshs.texas.gov/COVID-vaccine or call 1-833-832-7067. New Mexicans wishing to receive their COVID vaccine can visit https://goodtimes.vaccinenm.org/stay-ahead-nm or call 1-855-600-3453. This article is entitled Former Constable Running in Precinct 4 Race. Hall says he'll lower his salary if he wins commissioner's seat. By Caitlin Randall. Former Midland County Constable Charles Hall has filed to run in the Republican primary for Precinct 4 Commissioner, challenging incumbent Commissioner Randy Prude. When asked why he decided to enter the race, Hall said in an email to the Reporter Telegram that Prude has been in office since 1998, and he believes it's time for a change. It's time that the taxpayers have someone to represent them, he said. Hall criticized initiatives that Prude has proposed, such as $100 incentives for residents who receive the COVID-19 vaccine, which he called the Biden attitude. If elected, Hall said he would look forward to working on road projects with the Texas Department of Transportation. He also said he would lower his salary as commissioner and accept Social Security instead. The incumbent has raised his salary 13% over the last couple of years, not taking care of his employees, Hall said. Of his accomplishments, Hall said he served as Precinct 4 Constable for 20 years, and during that time started the collections office to get county fines paid. He was appointed to former Governor Rick Perry's Texas Commission on Law Enforcement Officer Standards and Education in 2004. He served as the presiding officer on that commission from 2008 to 2011. The program ended last week and will end on December 13th. This is the local from the front page. This article is entitled DPS Identifies Man Who Hit Andrew's Bus, from Staff Reports. A Midland man was behind the wheel of a Ford F-350 that collided with an Andrews ISD bus Friday afternoon, 2 miles east of Big Spring, according to the Department of Public Safety. A report Saturday showed that Nathan Paul Hale, 59, was traveling westbound around 4:02 p.m. Friday in the eastbound lanes of I-20 when his vehicle collided with a 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus, which carried members of the Andrews High School marching band. Hale died at the scene. Also identified as deceased was Darren Kimbrough Johns, the 53-year-old band director at Andrews High School. Johns also died at the scene, according to the report. The third person that passed away Friday was the driver of the Andrews ISD bus, Mark Albert Boswell, a 69-year-old man of Andrews. His Indeed profile lists him as retired from Andrews ISD. Boswell was also the football team's statistician. The report showed that 13 people were injured, including Karen Gatney Johns of Andrews. She was transported to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring with non-capacitating injuries. Additional passengers included 25 Andrews High School students. The report also shows 2 students were airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock with incapacitating injuries, and 11 students were transported to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring with non-capacitating injuries. The remaining 12 students were not injured. The report stated the Ford F-350 truck struck a first Andrews ISD bus and then was hit by a second Andrews ISD bus, a 2018 Freightliner bus. The F-350 caught fire on impact, according to the report. This article is entitled Collision Brings Back Memories of Ira Ann Tragedy, by Stuart Doreen. Hearing about a deadly school bus crash on Interstate 20 in or around Big Spring might have seemed familiar to some in West Texas. On Friday, it was Andrews ISD that went through a tragedy of a bus accident that killed 3 and sent more to hospitals in the region. In December of 2016, it was the Ira Ann Sheffield School District that was left stunned when its school bus was involved in a collision with a tractor trailer just outside Big Spring. One person died, the school's cheer sponsor Liz Pope. At least another 7 were injured. "That's the first place my mind went, with that horrible crash that happened a few years ago," said DPS Sergeant Justin Baker on Friday evening. Baker is on the regional communications team with the DPS. Both buses were involved in travel to or from postseason football games. Andrews ISD bus was taking band members to Sweetwater for a playoff game with Springtown. Ira Ann High School was headed back from Colorado City, another I-20 community. Both involved the transportation of support groups. Andrews ISD was carrying students and band members on its bus. Ira Ann High School's bus had members of the cheer squad. And both were making considerable drives to their respective football contests. This type of mileage for athletic and other extracurricular activity contests are commonplace for West Texas schools. That is especially true when the postseason begins. People in the region become basically numb to the idea of hitting the interstate to reach a particular destination. Being a parent myself that has athletes that travel and a spouse that travels as a coach, this is one of those moments you never want to think of and you never want to get that phone call, Baker said. And our hearts go out to the community. It's all we can do is think about Andrews and have them in our thoughts and prayers during this time and pray as they try to put the pieces of the puzzle back together and trying to figure out how to move on after this event. You know, we just give them the most support we can in every which way. On that night in 2016, DPS reported that the truck tractor towing a semi-trailer was traveling eastbound on I-20 in the outside lane behind a black passenger car. The driver of that car slammed on the brakes, and the rig veered to the right to avoid colliding with the car. The driver of the truck lost control, crossed the center median, and entered the westbound lanes of I-20. The rig then hit the school bus. It was later reported that the driver of the passenger car, a 59-year-old woman named Sandra Dunson, was intoxicated due to drugs and alcohol. A DPS report showed the woman made an unsafe lane change in front of the semi-trailer, or the semi-trailer didn't control its speed while traveling in the same lane as the woman and struck her vehicle. It was raining at the time of the wreck, and the roadway was wet, DPS said. On Friday, the Andrews ISD bus was traveling eastbound on I-20 near the mile marker 179 when it collided with a Ford F-350 that was driving the wrong way on the interstate for unknown reasons, according to Baker. The driver of the F-350, a Midland man named Nathan Paul Hale, died at the scene, as did one person in the Andrews ISD bus, 53-year-old Darren Kimbrough Johns, the Andrews High School band director. Another member of the Andrews delegation, 69-year-old Mark Elbert Boswell, died after being airlifted to a hospital in Lubbock. A DPS report released Saturday showed 13 people were injured. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled "Oil Rises as OPEC Plus May Adjust Supply" by Julia Fonzarez, Bloomberg. Oil advanced amid speculation that OPEC and its allies may not add as much supply to the market as previously planned if the U.S. releases crude reserves in coordination with other nations. Futures closed up 1.1% in New York on Monday. The OPEC Plus group of producers may adjust plans to raise crude production if consuming countries go through with a coordinated release. Delegates said that even the modest output increase they have penciled in may now be reevaluated when the group meets next week. President Joe Biden is preparing to announce a release of oil from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve in concert with several other countries as soon as Tuesday, according to people familiar with the plan. The move, likely in conjunction with India, Japan, and South Korea, would be an unprecedented effort by major oil consumers to tame surging energy prices. "The battle lines are being drawn," said John Kilduff, founding partner at Again Capital LLC. "Certainly, OPEC and the Saudis can win this in that they are holding all the cards. They can keep more oil off the market than an FDR release can put on the market. If you see WTI get under $70, then I would expect a response from OPEC Plus." Oil has fallen from a high in late October as speculation increased that the U.S. and other countries would release reserves. Meanwhile, the return of virus restrictions in Europe suggests there could still be a threat to global energy demand from a resurgent COVID-19. Biden has been talking about a possible release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for several weeks. The situation remains in flux and the plans could change, but the U.S. is considering a release of more than 35 million barrels over time, according to one of the people. The pending announcement was described by people who requested anonymity prior to official statements. Meanwhile, some OPEC Plus countries are unhappy about the use of state reserves designed to be deployed in an emergency to cool this year's rally in prices, the delegates said, declining to be identified because the discussions are private. OPEC Plus, led by Saudi Arabia and Russia, meets next week to discuss plans to increase production by an additional 400,000 barrels a day in December. India has yet to decide on the timing and volume of releasing emergency oil stocks, and the move will be a coordinated step with other major consumers, according to government officials with direct knowledge of the matter. Japan's Oil Stockpiling Act doesn't allow for the sale of reserves due to high prices, but both the government and the private sector currently hold more reserves than the minimum required under the law, according to a report over the weekend in the Yomiuri newspaper, which cited government sources. Tokyo has determined it can use its stockpiles legally as long as it taps surplus supply, according to a TV Asahi report, which cited an unidentified government official. It didn't provide further details on how much oil would be released. Elsewhere, inventories at Cushing, Oklahoma, the delivery point for benchmark U.S. crude futures, rose by about 340,000 barrels per last week, traders said, citing Wood Mackenzie data. The so-called prompt spread has weakened to trade at 63 cents a barrel. This is the opinion page. This column is called Guest View. It is entitled, "Can Beto versus Abbott Give Texas Moderates a Fighting Chance?" from the Dallas Morning News. Political primaries define candidates in the most extreme ways, and that usually isn't good for governing. But general elections, when they are competitive, can be moderating influences on governing. Yes, the races get ugly, but much of the mudslinging is about painting the other guy as a radical and presenting oneself as the sensible alternative. And that's what we expect to emerge in the race pitting Governor Greg Abbott against Beto O'Rourke. Make no mistake, Abbott and O'Rourke are ideological opposites, and Texas will have a clear choice come November. Both bases will be energized, but the fight very likely will be for the state's moderate suburban middle. Cue the predictable political plots. Within hours of O'Rourke's entry into the race, he and Abbott were trading barbs, describing the other as an extremist and out of touch with Texas. It won't be long before we are drowning in such attacks, but the competitiveness of this election and the need to attract suburban voters will force both men to be careful of what they promise and what they say to appease their bases. O'Rourke knows a majority of Texans won't accept deeply progressive pledges. And Abbott knows he will have to answer for his hard right shift over the last legislative sessions. We won't pretend politicians stick by their campaign statements, We won't even call them promises, but we do expect this election to give Texans a place to start, to hold the winner accountable for putting party over people and creeping even further to the extremes. We believe that most Texans want to live in the middle, away from endless political war and the ever more poisonous fringes. If this race turns out the way it is shaping up, it might give us a chance to get there. And if that's the result, Texans will be the real winner. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, November 23rd. Anthony R. Aragon. Anthony R. Aragon, 36, of Odessa, passed away on November 20th. He was born on August 30th, 1985, to Benny Aragon and Soyla Salgado in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is survived by his wife, Crystal Montoya, sons Damian Aragon and Christian Aragon, mother Soyla Melendez, spouse Jesus Melendez, fathers Benny Aragon, spouse Cinder Urban, and Michael Aragon, spouse of Roberta. Two sisters, Rosalinda Villa, spouse Sam Villa, Ariel Salgado, spouse Theo Cordova, and three brothers, Luis Aguirre, Alex Aragon, and Josh Aragon. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, November 23rd at 9 a.m., with a service at 2 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Floyd Bubba Brooks. Floyd Bubba Brooks was the eldest son born to Floyd and Rebecca Brooks of Teague, Texas, July 23, 1942. Floyd was preceded in death by his loving wife, Cecile Brooks, his parents, Rebecca and Floyd Brooks, and his siblings, Gwendolyn Carter, Willie Jean Brooks, Ishmael Brooks, Peggy Harkless, Dickie Brooks, brothers-in-law, Willie Simmons, Robert Brooks, and Al Gilmore. He leaves to cherish his memory his son Kyle, Charlene Brooks of College Station, his daughter Holly Nicole Brooks Jackson of Little Elm, Texas, two grandchildren, as well as a host of family members and friends. Viewing will be Friday, November 26th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Saturday, November 27th at 11 a.m. at Mount Rose Baptist Church, 211 North Tyler Street. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North Cemetery. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Francisco Javier Felix Lozano. Francisco Javier Felix Lozano, 64, of Midland, passed away on November 18th. He was born April 1957 in Chihuahua, Mexico, the son of Francisco Lozano Reyes and Hortensia Felix Marin. Over the years, he was blessed with six children and 15 grandchildren. He has many loved ones who will miss him dearly. He is survived by his daughters, Esther Lozano, Abigail Lozano, stepdaughter Irene Lozano Rodriguez, sons Francisco Lozano Jr., Samuel Javier Lozano, stepsons Oscar Molinar, Alfredo Molinar, and James Lozano. Visitation will be held on Sunday, November 21st from 1 to 7 p.m. with a service at 2 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. John Joseph Carter, Jr. John Joseph Carter, Jr. It is with great sadness that we announce the passing of John J. Carter, Jr., Johnny, or his, as he was affectionately known in Midland as the Balloon Man, passed away November 18th at the age of 78. He was born January 30th, 1943. He is preceded in death by his father, John J. Carter Sr., and mother, Lois Guffey Carter of Midland. He is survived by his sister, Vicki Wayne Hathaway of Midland, his niece, Jennifer Rodney Rose of New Braunfels, his nephew, Jason Shannon Hathaway of Corpus Christi, and niece, Jana Jeremy Anderson of Midland. He also leaves behind great-nephews and nieces and great-great-nephew and niece. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to your favorite youth charity. A public visitation for John will be held Tuesday, November 23rd from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 801 Andrews Highway, Midland. A funeral service will occur Wednesday, November 24th at 10 a.m. at 801 Andrews Highway, Midland. A burial will occur Wednesday, November 24th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. June Kathleen Shapira. June Kathleen Shapira, born February 23rd, 1946, passed away on November 17th, 2021. Julie was born in Houston and moved to Midland in 1953. She is survived by her brother, Michael, and wife, Kathy, her nieces and their husbands, Jill and Tony Young, Lane and Travis Torres, and great-nephew, Tyler Bracken. Julie was predeceased by her parents, Jack and Mildred Shapira, and brother, Andrew Shapira. A graveside service will be held by the family. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Martha Callis. Martha Ann White Callis was born in Big Spring, Texas on June 16, 1937 and died on November 18, 2021 in the presence of her daughters Elizabeth and Mary Callis after a brief battle with pancreatic and bone cancer. Martha is survived by her daughters, Elizabeth Callis of Arlington and Mary Callis of Portales, New Mexico, sister-in-law Edna White, as well as many nieces and nephews and great-nieces and nephews. Martha was preceded in death by her husband, Dan Callis, her parents, Benny and Nell White, and her brother, Benny Lee White. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Texas Retired Teachers Foundation, or St. Anne's Educational Endowment Fund, or Senior Life Midland, which all held special places in Martha's heart. The family will receive friends at 5 p.m. Monday, November 22nd at the branch at NPW at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. For those who wish to attend, a rosary will be recited immediately following in the Nellie Picklin Welch Chapel at 6:30 p.m., A funeral mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Tuesday, November 23rd at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Graveside service will be held on Tuesday, November 23rd at 2 p.m. at Trinity Memorial Park in Big Spring. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Charles Graham. Charles Graham, 71, of Midland, passed away Friday, November 19th. No services are scheduled at this time. Services entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. John Earl Choice of Midland passed from this life on November 16th in Odessa. John Earl Choice was born in Snyder to Sherry Thomas and John Earl Choice on May 4th, 1943. Funeral services will be held on December 2nd, 2 p.m. at Living Vision Ministries in Odessa. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home. Mariana Dolores Trammell. Mariana Dolores Trammell, 80, of Midland, passed away on November 21st. Memorial service will be held on Saturday, November 27th at 11 a.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Chapel. She is survived by her daughters, Sandra Lundberg and Linda Benzing. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the first story from the Odessa American, published Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Front page. Andrews Strong. Odessans helped in wreck aftermath. MCH nurse was able to warn Big Spring Hospital to prepare. By Bob Campbell. Medical Center Health System officials Brad and Kristen Timmons were just ahead of the buses carrying the Andrews High School Mustangs banned when they were almost hit by the pickup that smashed into the buses 2 miles east of Big Spring at 4:02 p.m. last Friday, killing 2 men, injuring 13 band members, and killing the pickup driver. On their way to a weekend out of town and just happening to be about 200 yards ahead of the buses, the couple saw the wreck and immediately went to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring, where they worked for over 2 hours to help with the victims and their families. We were headed eastbound on I-20, and a semi-truck right in front of us swerved, said Kristen, MCH's chief nursing officer. My husband just got into the inside lane as the pickup went right past us. If he had been messing with his cell phone or looking over talking to me, we wouldn't have gotten out of the way quickly enough. Kristen looked back and saw Mark Boswell, driving the lead band bus, swerve to try to avoid the pickup as the pickup ran head-on into the lead bus and careened into the second. I turned in my seat to look behind and said to Brad, "That truck just hit the bus," she said. Timmons called Stacy Brown, president of SMMC and Odessa Regional Medical Center, to notify her and let her alert the Big Spring Hospital staff that multiple victims were en route. "I told Stacy, I'm not sure what you're going to receive, but I want to give you a heads up," she said. That gave her a chance to get her staff ready and tell the day shift to stay put. Brown drove to Big Spring to join the Timmonses, MCH President CEO Russell Tippin, and her doctors and nurses in the SMMC emergency room and treat 11 band members and 53-year-old Karen Johns, the wife of AHS band director Darren Johns, who was the third fatality. 2 musicians were airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock. Brad Timmons, chief of the MCH Police Department, worked outside the ER to counsel the terrified parents who began arriving. With an air of tragedy pervading the hospital, Kristen said, the injured musicians needed comforting as well as treatment for their injuries. "It's hard for adults who never anticipate being in that environment, much less kids," she said. They were not only misplaced, but misplaced without their parents. Then those parents were coming in, not knowing what they were walking into with their children. But Scenic Mountain was very organized and prepared. Tippin was on his way to the playoff game in Sweetwater because his son Tucker is on the Mustangs football team, drove up on the wreck. "This reiterates what we all know," he said. "Life is not guaranteed to the next breath, and you had better take time to love all your family as much as you can, because you never know when something like this will happen. You'd better be prepared." Tippin came to Andrews with his family as a sixth grader in 1985, and he was president CEO of Permian Regional Medical Center there till joining MCHS 2 years ago. "I knew every kid in the emergency room," said Tippin, who played football for the Mustangs before graduating in 1992. "Mark was my math teacher in high school, and his wife Carol was president of my hospital board the whole 10 years I was there. Mark was one heck of a dude. He was the football team's statistician, and he loved driving that Mustang bus. He could tell you how many rushing yards the team had in 1995, for example. He knew all that. He was super nice. He always had a smile on his face and was somebody pleasant to visit with." Asked if he thought the driver of the big 2016 Ford F-350 pickup that rammed the buses, 59-year-old Nathan Paul Hale of Midland, intended to commit suicide, Tippin said, "I don't know, but something is not right when a guy is traveling the wrong way on an interstate." Hale was reported by Texas Department of Public Safety not to have been wearing a seatbelt.
Banding together, halftime performance honors victims of tragic bus crash. About an hour before the playoff game between Andrews and Springtown started on Monday, members of the Sweetwater and Big Spring bands were putting the final touches on the pregame and halftime performances. Sweetwater band director Matthew Gudino and Big Spring band director Gabe Martinez were tasked with combining the more than 100 students that showed up to support the Andrews community after its band director and longtime math teacher died in a tragic bus crash that was carrying band students to a football game Friday night. Martinez said there was plenty of discussion prior to Monday's game, but the final call was to play in honor of Andrews. "It was just the right thing to do," Martinez said. "There's no right words. It was just the right thing for us to do." Gudino also compiled a piece that was played at halftime in honor of Andrews High School band director Darren K. Johns. The piece was called "Nearer My God to Thee." Prior to the game, Gudino told the band members that there's a story behind every measure. The piece is bookend with tubas, which was John's instrument. The Springtown Pep Band also played "Sweet, Sweet Spirit" to the Andrews crowd during halftime. "I knew that Darren Johns was a Christian man, and I thought it was very appropriate to play a hymn for him," Gudino said. "It's very symbolic of him ascending to heaven. I hope that doesn't sound too corny, but that what was going through my mind was him saying goodbye at the end." Martinez said both Big Spring and Sweetwater were on Thanksgiving break, and he didn't know if anyone would show up. There were more than 100 members of the Sweetwater and Big Spring bands that showed up at the Class 4A Division I area playoff game to cheer on and play for Andrews. "Springtown defeated Andrews 43-33. We had a great turnout for both schools," Martinez said. "They are doing right, and they are doing it for the right reasons." Though members of the Andrews band weren't required to show up, students like senior flautist Honest D. Salazar came to play alongside Sweetwater and Big Spring. Salazar said it has been rough, but she said it has been amazing to see the support shown from communities across Texas. "It's kind of hard under the circumstances why they are here, but at the same time it shows that they are supportive," Salazar said. "It means a lot to us. It means a lot to all the support that we are getting." Guest members of the band included more than current students: the Texas Rangers organist Dustin Tatro, a 2005 Andrews High School graduate, drove from Abilene to play alto sax alongside the band students. Tatro said that he hasn't played the alto sax for about 2 years, but "we wouldn't have missed this opportunity to play for Johns." Tatro said he was in band from the sixth grade until his senior year at Andrews. He knew Johns when he was the band director at Colorado City. Tatro said he shared a special moment with Johns after the passing of his mother. Tatro said those 45 minutes John ministered to him made a difference. Tatro said he plans on returning to Andrews for John's funeral services later this week. "Working in game entertainment at the professional level has taught me one thing in addition to what I already knew, that the athletic community is very close, but the musical community is even tighter than that," Tatro said. "That has hit me really hard since Friday night, as it has everybody, whether we've been out of high school 16 years or not." Prior to Monday's game, Inez Padilla of Sweetwater and her husband Antonio hung signs around the Mustang Bowl to support Andrews. The sign read, "Hashtag Andrew Strong, Go Mustangs and Black and Gold." "It's small town love," Padilla said. "It kind of hits close to home because it could happen to anybody at any time. We want to make sure that we show that we are behind them and that we are with them all the way." The fatal collision happened at 4:02 Friday p.m. on Interstate 20, 2 miles east of Big Spring. The preliminary investigation showed a 2016 Ford F-350 truck was traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20 for unknown reasons. The 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus and a 2018 Freightliner bus were traveling eastbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20, the report issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety said the F-350 truck and the 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus in the outside lane. The 2018 Freightliner bus also struck the Ford. The Ford caught fire upon impact. The report said the 2018 Freightliner sustained minor damage. The driver of the Ford truck, Nathan Paul Hale, 59, of Midland, was killed. The report stated he was not wearing a seatbelt and was pronounced dead by Justice of the Peace Kelly Seals. Mark Elbert Boswell, 69, of Andrews, in the 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus, was also killed and was the driver of the bus as well as the statistician of the football team. He is a retired longtime math teacher who enjoyed driving the bus. He was wearing a seatbelt and was pronounced by Dr. Theophilus Pham, the report said. Johns, 53, of Andrews, was a passenger and was killed. He was pronounced dead by SEALs, the report stated. His wife, Karen Gatney Johns, 53, of Andrews, was taken to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring with non-incapacitating injuries, the report stated. Additional passengers included 25 Andrews High School students. Two students were airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock with incapacitating injuries, the report stated. 11 students were transported to Scenic Mountain Medical Center with non-incapacitating injuries, and the remaining 12 students were not injured, the report stated. The investigation was conducted by Odessa, Texas Highway Patrol Sergeant John Schock and assisted by 4A District Crash Team, Texas Highway Patrol, Big Spring Police Department, Big Spring Fire Department, Howard County Sheriff's Office, and the Texas Department of Transportation. Before Monday's game, Martinez spoke with his band members about how often they travel that stretch of road going to and from games. The accident occurred just about 2 miles from the site of a December 2016 crash that killed one person and injured seven others who were on an Ira Ann school van of cheerleaders heading to a playoff game. At any moment, it could have been any one of us, Martina said. We travel that interstate weekly, sometimes twice a week. That's a very known area for us. This is something that the Andrews students will never forget, and we are doing it for them, not for us. Two crash victims remembered. It was just a gut punch. Two Andrews men who died in a bus pickup crash Friday afternoon near Big Spring are being remembered as well-respected and selfless. Darren K. Johns, 53, was the Andrews High School band director, and Mark Elbert Boswell was a high school math teacher and the director of data information systems for Andrews ISD, his obituary detailed. The accident occurred at 4:02 p.m. Friday on Interstate 20, 2 miles east of Big Spring. John's wife, Karen, was also injured in the wreck. Permian High School Director of Bands, Jeff Whitaker, Executive Director of Fine Arts for Abilene ISD, Jay Lester, and John Carroll, an Associate Director of Bands for PHS and current President of the Texas Music Educators Association, said Johns was in his profession for all the right reasons, was helpful but competitive and kind. Whitaker, who had known Johns since Whitaker was in college, said students didn't have to be in John's program to get his help. It's a competitive environment that we get in sometimes as band directors. But he was in it for the profession, for all the kids. It didn't matter what band program they were in. He also was willing to go and help other band directors, and he would help them and guide them, Whitaker said. He added that John's wanted to help other directors improve. Whitaker said Johns would also help younger people who wanted to be teachers and directors with guidance and advice. He could be blunt and direct, but in a way where he meant what was best for us, Whitaker said. Whitaker said he first met Johns at Angelo State through the band camp. Then one of my close friends, actually her first job was working with him in Colorado City. She knew him well back then, and I got to know him through her. He invited me to judge my first contest, so the first time I ever got to be a judge for band contest was because Darren Johns asked me to go out there. I was a young kid. I thought, oh, wow, there he is giving me an opportunity to help out and to grow. He noted that band directors are always available to help out. We may be competitors on certain weekends, but the rest of the time, I think it's really neat that we go out and help each other, Whitaker said. Whitaker said he found out about the crash when he was looking up a news story online. It was before we knew what had happened, and it was just a gut punch. It was hard to comprehend, and you could tell by the photos that it was just devastating. Your thoughts go out to the kids, drivers. No one knew at the time what had happened, and as the night went on, we knew before it was even reported in the news officially. We had known just by talking through friends and colleagues. I grew up in Andrews, and my mom still lives there. So she was hearing things very quickly. I was hearing from her. It was just hard to experience, just how gut-wrenching. You want to help, but you feel helpless. You feel like you don't know what direction to go or what to say or do, Whitaker said. He added that he was thinking about his own band students and their program at PHS. We were scheduled the next day to go down the same road. As I got on that bus and sat in the front seat, it was pretty surreal. I thank God that as we passed by, they had that area cleared up. We were all kinds of nervous wrecks as teachers going down that path the next day, just thinking about it. I texted several of my band colleagues that I knew were traveling Saturday and just said, hey, I know we're all feeling this heavy on our hearts, and I just wish you all safe travels. He added that music brings people together anytime there is devastation to families and communities. Whitaker said he was in the Andrews program, and that's where he decided to become a band director. I think about those young people that are there that are going to have to pick up the pieces and move forward. I talked to a lot of colleagues, and we're all ready to go in and help and do whatever it takes, my kids too. We had to talk with our kids before we got on our buses. I thought it was important, and they all sat there, and we all talked about what it was and what band family is. We may not be able to help today, but we will find a way to help. There are band families and band students and band moms and dads, and certainly band directors, all across Texas that are willing and ready to do anything to help these guys, Whitaker said. He added that Johns was a good teacher, as he was elected by his peers as head of the Association of Texas Small School Bands. We knew his heart and his spirit were in the right place, and he would be selfless in that position. And so for over a decade, he led the ATSSB in Region 6, which is the largest region in Texas geographically. He did a tremendous job. He was willing to step up. It's a lot of extra work that's unpaid. It's a volunteer position, and it takes a lot of organization and a lot of time, which he was great at. But more importantly, we knew he would do it to the best interest of every young band student in the region, which is why he was chosen for that position, Whitaker said. Jay Lester, Executive Director of Fine Arts for Abilene ISD and Executive Secretary for UIL Music Region 6, said Johns taught in Abilene, Colorado City, and was in his seventh year in Andrews. Lester had known Johns for 30 years. Darren was a student at ACU, and I was a student at Hardin-Simmons. We played in some student ensembles together that were a joint operation, and later, when he taught at Franklin Middle School here in Abilene, I actually got to do part of my student teaching and observations with him, Lester said. When he heard about the bus accident, Lester said he felt shock at first, then sadness, trying to make sense of it all, followed by a lot of reflection. His character and integrity were what made John stand out as a band director, Lester said. He was the ultimate human being and a fine Christian man who exhibited those qualities in everything he did. Secondly, I would say he was by far one of the most organized people I know. Our friendship has many aspects over the year. Darren and I continued to play in a brass quintet for about 25 years, and he just recently had to step down from playing tuba because of his bout with cancer. And I know he missed it greatly, Lester said. The other thing I really appreciated about Darren is that he is competitive in nature, but not in a way that inhibits him from being close friends with his fellow band directors, Lester added. He said band directors learn from each other, and that John's was a lifelong learner. He never stopped trying to pursue excellence. I think that shows in everything that he did, because his bands were always sweepstakes winners and made frequent trips to the state marching contest. But he was very humble about it. He never boasted, Lester said. Lester said he thought John's had recently gotten a clean bill of health for his cancer from MD Anderson. Carol, associate band director and current president, TMEA, said that what stood out to him about John's was that he was very impassioned about his students and teaching music. He was a very kind person, not weak, but a kind person. His kids just absolutely loved him, and he would do anything for them, Carol said. John's was the ATSSB representative. That's a group that's made up of single A, double A, triple A, and 4A high school bands, and he was our leader for that, for this part of Texas, for many, many years, Carol said. He added that John's just gave the position up a few months ago. I don't know anybody who did not like Darren John's, Carol said. Michael Boswell, Mark Boswell's son, said his father retired in 2017 and had been a longtime math teacher, but computers were his passion. He was just genuine about everybody, his son Jeremy said. Everybody thought of him as a friend and someone they could talk to and someone that genuinely cared about them. Michael said Boswell had a servant attitude. He was also an elder at the Andrews Church of Christ for about 30 years. If you needed something, there's people around town that he would just show up and help them with whatever they needed, whether it be a lawn mowed or whether it be a ride to the store and back, Michael said. He would just sit there and listen to you talk and be a friend, a confidant, to where it didn't go any further. But he was always serving. We got countless texts talking about how he just listened and he was such a great listener and that he just really helped them through a difficult time. That really meant a lot because he served everybody. You could bend his ear a lot and he would just sit there and listen and let you vent, Michael said. Carol and Mark Boswell have two sons, Michael and Jeremy, and a daughter, Stephanie. They have four grandchildren. Jeremy lives in San Antonio, Michael lives in Odessa, and Stephanie lives in Andrews. Michael was at the Permian black and white scrimmage Friday night when his mother called him about the wreck. At first, I ignored her phone call. I thought it was just the rudimentary stuff, because usually that's when we talk on our way home from work. It was a shock, Michael said. Mark Boswell had been driving buses since 2017, Michael said. He had gotten a CDL back when he worked at Lawn, Texas, in 1974, 75, and 76. He'd pick the kids up, he'd teach them at Lawn, and then he'd drive them home, so he had a bus license way back. But then, of course, we go to Seagraves, and we go to Andrews, and you make enough to where you don't have to take all those oddball jobs. He kind of got back into it. He took the swim team to multiple events, and when his grandkids were in swimming. Then he still does a little bit of that. Of course, he takes the band, and the reason why he was driving the band bus and not the football bus was because the band leaves right after the game, Michael said. Dad was going to keep the stats for the football team, and after he kept the stats, he would drive the bus back, and then he would go on work on stats. So when the football team got home, he would be closer to being done with the stats, so the coaches could be ready to give the stats to the different football players for the next week, Michael said. Mark Boswell had been keeping statistics for the football team since 1982 or 83. Michael was a ball boy because his dad kept stats, so he got to travel with the team. Mark Boswell's first teaching job was in Lawn, right outside of Brady. That's where he was born. That's where me and Jeremy were born because Lawn doesn't have a hospital. He worked there for 2 years, then Seagraves, for three or four, Michael said. There was a lot of people that know Dad. It kind of helped sometimes when we were growing up. Sometimes it wasn't so good, he recalled. If he got caught doing something he shouldn't, his dad would find out. One of Mark Boswell's best friends, Terry Duzan, was the driver of the second bus and was the first one to get to Mark Boswell. He tried to wake him. Terry was a godsend to that point, and he still is. He's been helping the family. He's a great guy, Michael said. He added that Duzan is a church elder as well. And he wasn't even supposed to be there. He was off. He wasn't going to do it. They called him at 1:20 p.m. The person that was supposed to drive the second bus got sick. That was why Terry was even in the area. Terry wouldn't have been there had he not actually got called in, Michael said. The preliminary investigation shows a 2016 Ford F-350 truck was traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20 for unknown reasons. A 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus and a 2018 Freightliner bus were traveling eastbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20. The report issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety says the F-350 struck the 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus in the outside lane. The 2018 Freightliner bus also struck the Ford. The Ford caught fire upon impact. The report said the 2018 Freightliner sustained minor damage. The driver of the Ford truck, Nathan Paul Hale, 59, of Midland, was killed. The report stated he was not wearing a seatbelt and was pronounced dead by Justice of the Peace Kelly Seals. Additional passengers include 25 Andrews High School students. Two students were airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock with incapacitating injuries, the report stated. 11 students were transported to Scenic Mountain Medical Center with non-incapacitating injuries, and the remaining 12 students were not injured, the report stated. Service information for Johns has not yet been released. A celebration of life for Boswell will take place at 2:30 p.m. Friday at Andrews Church of Christ, 201 Northwest 2nd Street in Andrews.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.